RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
The eye care revolution is here. Time for the Wizard of Eyes. Here's Dr. Robert Able Jr.
We're going to talk about the visual requirements for drone racing. Yeah, it does involve the eyes. And we're fortunate to have a guy who's not quite a household name yet, but you will soon know Joshua Fielder and his redleaf.com website. He's been spelunking and drone racing for a week in Virginia, and he's going to tell us a little bit about how conscious focusing and visualization is associated with one of these new items that's going to snap into a lot of our attention. So thanks, Josh, for joining us again today.
Oh, thank you for having me on, Doc. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Tell us about your travels.
Yeah, so I just got back from the Flying Circus FPV Festival, which was in Covington, Virginia. It was a great time. Got to hang out with a lot of engineers, scientists, businessmen, and I learned a lot about drone racing. And I had some questions for you because some of the people I talked to had some of the same questions I have, and I said I know someone who might have answers for us.
Shoot, let's hear them.
Okay, so to fly drones, FPV stands for first-person view, and what that means is we wear some sort of HMD. An HMD is a head-mounted device, which is very similar to the virtual reality gaming devices that are coming out, things like Oculus and stuff like that. So there's two different kinds. You have the monocular HMD, which is one screen for both eyes, and then you have the binocular HMD, which is one screen for each individual eye. And basically, the camera on the drone uses a video transmitter to stream that video directly to our headset. As you know, having a little bit of video interference or maybe having our eyes not process that information fast enough, in drone racing, that can lead to a wreck. So a lot of the guys that I talked to was wondering, monocular or binocular, which one of these is going to be better, and is there a risk to our eyes? We were told as kids, don't sit too close to the TV, and now we're wearing the TVs on our faces. So,
well, first of all, the wavelengths are non-toxic, so the long wavelengths do not hurt you like gamma rays, x-rays, and UV light. Second of all, to be binocular with individual screens, let's say monocular with individual screens, is a difficult process for people who haven't done that, because it's almost like going to the 3D movie, because you have different input to each eye, and it's not like listening to stereo headsets of music, and so it's much more difficult to coordinate. So having the same thing going to both eyes is very helpful until you get to the elevated level where you get monocular or monovision in each eye. That little bit of difference does give you some perspective. On the other hand, it has to be learned. So I think people who are beginners should use a binocular screen.
Awesome. That's really helpful. And what about things like vertigo? I have a lot of older gentlemen that are starting to get involved in the hobby. Some of them suffer with things like vertigo, nearsightedness, and of course, because the screens are a little bit, you know, these head devices, if you have to wear glasses, it kind of limits you to the type of device you can buy, because some of the devices aren't going to function well if you have to already wear some sort of, you know, prescription glasses. So for vertigo and things like that, would you recommend that single screen or the one for both eyes?
Well, let's start with your nearsighted friends or friends with a prescription. They can either wear contact lenses, or we're going to develop to the situation where we're going to actually be able to put your prescription into your HMD, just like we do for scuba sets. So sooner or later, that will be developed. But in terms of vertigo, what people have to do is a 10-minute exercise where they essentially lie on their back and look at a big pretzel and go around the pretzel so they clear the otoliths out of their semicircular canals. This happens in older people, and they don't have to suffer from it because they can actually shake this in with a 10-minute exercise. We can go over that, and I give you a copy the next time I see you.
Oh, that sounds great, Doc. That'd be very helpful because, again, this technology is really new. People from the drone racing field, people in the gaming field, we still don't know how this is going to affect our eyes. And we think about it, especially with gaming. You have situations where gamers will sit in front of the screen for 10, 12 hours sometimes. You know, I've known people that when a certain event or a certain competition comes out and they need to train, or maybe they're participating in the event, they'll play for hours and hours. So how often do you recommend taking breaks from something like that?
Well, first of all, the eye is an extension of the brain. So if we look at it that way, you look at the fact that you're overloading your brain. So in a sense, you're getting brain cramps from all that visual activity, number one. Number two, you're often converging your eyes while looking into the head-mounted device or gaming. And so it increases your nearsightedness. So it does throw you off your prescription a little bit. So if you could take breaks, that's wonderful. But at the end of that session, it should be like working out. You should do the opposite. You should meditate and look at the distance. In Nepal, they say, look at the moon every night. Tell your friends, look at the moon every night and straighten their eyes.
That's really good advice, and I've never heard that before. I kind of like it. Can I use that with the girls too, or do I have to just tell my friends?
You can do it with whomever you like.
Well, Doc, so do you have any questions about drone racing? Is there anything?
Well, tell us about the caves and the drone racing. Was it neat?
Oh, it was the coolest thing I ever experienced. I mean, FPV drone racing is going to be televised starting this August on ESPN. There was an organization called IDRA. They're based out of California, from what I understand. They made a 3-year deal with ESPN, so they're bringing drone racing to, I think it's ESPN3, but they will be televised starting this summer. And because of that event, qualifiers are popping up all over the country where for people who are into it, they have to go and qualify so they can get into the race that's going to be on Governor's Island in New York City in August. So basically,
I love it. The drone Olympics is here.
I hope it goes X Games. A lot of people, you know, the X Games is going on right now. If you haven't been watching it, check it out. It's always a good watch. And I think this sport, you know, some people don't even like it when you call it a sport. I've recently made multiple videos for YouTube where I go and talk to people about drone technology in general. And a lot of people have resistance to the technology. It's definitely still a controversial issue. I've had situations when I've been out with people and people get really uncomfortable when we're out flying in public, or, you know, it's just something that people haven't seen enough of yet and they don't understand. And the word drone has a very negative connotation. For years and years and years, we've only heard bad things about them. So it's really difficult to get people to see a different side of this technology. And racing is going to bring it to, you know, a lot more people. It's fun, it's fast, it's exciting. And just like in NASCAR, there's crazy wrecks. But in this sport, no one gets hurt. And I think that's a big advantage. And I think that's something that people could start to watch. I think they'd be into it.
Well, first of all, quickly tell us your website.
So my website is droneracingorganization.org, and that's where you can find out if you're a beginner and you just want to learn about the sport.
No, I want your website. The people can get to you.
Well, you can get to me through there. All my contact information is on there.
Okay.
It's droneracingorganization.org, and all the email stuff is there. There's also information about myself on the About page. You know, there's an email contact. So if you have any questions about drone racing, about how to, you know, meet people in your local area that are doing it, maybe go check it out for the day, you can always reach me on that.
Well, let me tell you, I know we have to get off quickly, but I will tell you this. I have two requests. One is you may feel that this is like an internal concussion. So I wish we could get vision data. What people's experiences are, what their vision is ahead of time, what symptoms they have after 5 hours, after 10 hours, etc. We tabulate it, and then we look at what we can do to help these folks. Okay? Thanks
so
much, Josh. I look forward to doing this again next week. And in the meantime, I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Oz on RadioMD.com. For more information on drone racing or any of my segments, please visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And, of course, see well and stay well.